Thank you, Terry. I've been looking forward to this for a long, long time. It's been my joy to have ministered in a number of your churches in the past, and as I walked in this evening, so many were coming and greeting, and I just am so sorry that my wife was unable to be here tonight, but she sends her greetings. Her name is Luetta. Numbers of you know her. There's so many things that I want to say. This is indeed a very, very historic occasion. But before I go further, Pastor Terry, I want to request that you stop calling interest in the ministries and in the harvest in Russia the SGA virus. Call it the Russia virus. Call it the Detroit Coalition virus, okay? Don't call it the bird flu, but that wouldn't be good. But it isn't the SGA virus. It's what God is doing. It's not what we're doing. It's what God is doing. And I love to talk about what He's doing. A week ago today, I was preaching in Tirana, Albania, in a church that meets in the home, former home of the dictator, whose goal was to kill all the Christians and destroy all the churches. And he thought he had eliminated Christianity from Albania. Not only is there a thriving church meeting in his former residence, but the main reason I was there last Sunday is because last Sunday evening we dedicated the new Southeastern Europe Theological Seminary that's already holding classes, also in the home of the former dictator. What did Jesus say? I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, right? Means death. Not even death can stop it. They killed the Christians in Albania, but they couldn't kill the church. No. And when I think of the lands of Russia, I think of 200,000 Christian leaders who died for their faith, of 40,000 church buildings that were destroyed by the communists. And when I first went there in 1989, I met the finest Christians that I had ever met on earth. And I came back and I quit my job first day back. And I said, I want to be their water boy. I don't know what I can teach them. I don't know how I can help them, but I've just met the finest Christians I've ever seen on the planet. Maybe we can teach them a little theology, but they're going to teach us how to live as Christians. And all those of you who have been over to teach would echo that, wouldn't you? You would agree with me in a moment. There's such a wonderful question. See, the Lord used the communists to purify the church. We didn't understand it. He was using the communists to purify the church. He even used the communists to protect their sound doctrine. They didn't have the German higher criticism sweeping in and destroying their seminaries. Never got there. Communists wouldn't let it in. Besides, they didn't have any seminaries, so they couldn't go bad. They didn't have anybody writing books about the Bible that missed the mark, that fill our bookstores. So they didn't have anything to corrupt their faith. The Lord was using the communists to protect the church. Is that incredible? But it shouldn't be so surprising to us, because all through the Bible we see the evidence that God creates the nations. He determines their times and their boundaries, and He manages the nations. He determines who the leaders are going to be, raises them up, and He takes them down. Why should we be surprised that the Lord was using the communists, right? And as we look through the Scriptures, we find that God has a plan. He wants to bless all the nations. It begins in Genesis chapter 12. Continues all through the Old Testament, concludes in the book of Revelation, as we were reminded already this evening. God has a plan to bless the nations, and His plan is to bless the nations through His Son. But when His Son came and died for all the nations, He then raised up something called a church. A church. We just referred to it a moment ago. Nobody had heard of a church before. But the church was raised up to bless the nations. To bless the nations. And if you're not sure of that, just remember back in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost when the church was born. There's a lot of discussion always about speaking in tongues. The tongues were being spoken in because God was saying to the church on its birthday, it's all about the nations. And every nation on the earth at that time was represented there. And supernaturally, when they were preaching in their Galilean dialect, everybody from every nation was hearing them preach in the language of their nation, thereby giving us the example on the birthday of the church that the gospel is to go to all the nations and in the language of the nations, right? And so when you go to Russia, you have a translator because we all can't speak Russian, right? And the gospel is going to the Russians. And the books, thank you for your offering for the books already this evening. Those books are going to be in the Russian language so that the church can use them. Now, normally I would open my Bible, but I have so much I have so much to say that I decided to kind of do it that way, and spending the time in those verses, only reminding you that the real reason that we're here is that God has a plan for the nations. His plan is to use the church, and the church boils down in our case to our local churches, to reach those nations. And the Lord has drawn us together in His providence around the opportunities in Russia, where the Lord not only used the communists to purify the church, to protect their doctrine, but He used them to produce the harvest that is waiting there. When we first were able to go there freely, beginning 1990, 1 in 10,000 were born again. Now, we've improved to 1 in 1,000. 1 in 1,000, okay? In Ukraine, where we've seen great, great fruitfulness, in Ukraine, we're now 1 in 100, okay? Now, you're thinking, boy, that's still not much, but I want to tell you something. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus is praising those who were willing to be persecuted for Him and telling them that they're going to have a special reward in heaven along with the prophets of old. And you know the next thing He says? The very next thing He says, now you may have missed it because they put in an artificial, uninspired paragraph heading right there. But the next thing He says, right after affirming those who were persecuted, He says, you are the salt. You are the salt. It was the persecution that purified the church and made it salty. And in Ukraine today, 1 out of 100 is impacting the nation. Impacting the nation. There's a presence for Christ all over Ukraine. It's incredible. And it drives her back to that passage. And you see, boy, how much salt does it take to change the meat? How much salt does it take to make the beans taste better, right? Certainly by weight, no more than 1%. And so when the church is the church, when the church has been purified, when the church is salty, as Christ intended, the church doesn't need a big crowd to change a nation. And what do we come back to? Purpose of the church is to bless the nations, right? Well, I have all these notes and they just all went out the window. I bring greetings tonight from all of SGA, from Pastor Yuri Sipko, who is the president of the Union of Evangelical Christians Baptists of Russia. He prays for you. He is so thankful for you. You are the leaders. You are the leaders of this movement more than you can imagine, because it was the fact that there was a group of churches here in the Detroit area that had learned nearly 5 years ago that you could work together for the mission in Russia. And that word started to get around because I was so amazed. I mean, I had never seen two churches work together in my long life for anything. Have you? And for this many churches to be working together for the mission. Notice I don't call it missions. I'll come back to that in a moment. But you, the Lord raised up this group of churches, put your leaders together, your pastors together, to show that it could be done. And so we're going over to Russia and we're saying, you know, we got this group of churches in the Detroit area that are working together and they love each other. And they have, the pastors have meetings and they look forward to their meetings. And there have even been cases when pastors were coming from other churches just to get in on the meeting, I understand, who weren't really just wanting to be a part of the fellowship because they were strengthened by it. This is something God is doing. God has done something unique here. This is a historic, I believe this evening is an historic meeting in the history of the church. This is going to be in the books in the future. Why are there 10 coalitions now, 10 groups of churches across America, and 4 more developing, and the goal was 50 by the year 2010, impacting all of Russia by 50, each one of them together producing an Antioch quality church that has the capacity to train their own and send them and nurture them and produce daughter churches that do the same and impact the whole state the way the Lord is going to use you to impact the whole oblast or state of Kirov and the sister republic called Mariel right next to it. It's incredible how the Lord has used you already. Used you, used the cooperation to show us at SGA when we were praying about new direction. It was about 5 years ago when we were concerned. We were concerned that we weren't being effective enough and that the church wasn't being effective enough. And we were doing everything we could, but the results just weren't there. And we had a special 2-day board meeting, our board of directors and our leadership team. And we got on our knees and we were in the scriptures and we were remembering together patterns of blessing, special things that God had done. And there were a few church situations in Russia that we had been a part of that the Lord was raising up an Antioch church over there. And we didn't even realize what He was doing. But then as we stood back and looked at it, we said, well, we have a few Antioch churches developing and we've been helping them. And it wasn't even intentional. This is God. God is doing this. And then we began to consider, well, what's the Lord doing in North America? Because in order to see great, strong churches turned into great churches that can impact the whole state, boy, there's going to need to be a lot of help coming from America. How's the Lord going to do that here? Because they don't have the resources over there. And then we came back and thinking about your group meeting together. Well, maybe one church can't do it, but a group of churches could do a lot if they caught the vision. And then there was another church, and that's where I was this morning. It's called Tulsa Bible Church. Tulsa Bible Church is a church like yours. They would fit right into your coalition right now. And by the way, they've asked me to bring their greetings, and I forgot. I was there to speak this morning at their 50th anniversary. Why? Because over the last 7 or 8 years, their elders are convinced that the greatest thing that happened to their church was that it got involved in Russia. That it got involved in Russia and it changed their church. Okay? Well, they got involved in Russia. And this is a church that when they got involved in Russia in 1998, they had 600 members. And now I'm looking through my notes. So I want to read some things to you here. When they got involved in a place called Volgodonsk, there was one church and it had no building. It was meeting in a theater. And I took the pastor and their elders to this church for a few days. And the Lord just touched their hearts and broke their hearts. And they came back and said, we're going to do whatever it takes to help the church in Volgodonsk. And so now I'm going to tell you what they did, what one church did in Volgodonsk since 1998. When they started helping the church there, or let me begin with this. The church in Volgodonsk has increased in membership 54% since the American church started helping it. Okay? The number of, they've trained 39 men, very similar to you, and the two SBIs, you've trained, I think, 42 men. And they've had two SBIs, they're training 39 men. And they're all deployed in ministry. The number of ordained pastors and deacons there have grown from 4 to 13. Number of communities with regular gospel impact has grown from 70 to 40. Number of churches has doubled. Number of church buildings has increased from 1 to 8. Number of missionaries has grown from 1 to 30. Orphan ministry has grown from 2 orphanages to 11 orphanages. A new drug rehab center has already rescued 50 men from addiction and made them new creatures. I was just there a few weeks ago listening to testimonies of former drug addicts who are not only telling what the Lord did for them and delivered them, but then that every one of them going on and say, and my wife is back with me, and my sister came to the Lord, and my mother came to the Lord. Whole families impacted when the church is used of God to rescue drug addicts. And in fact, across Russia, the success, I hate to call it that, but let's call it that, the success rate in the church-sponsored drug rehab centers is so great that now they're starting to say, this must be the way that the Lord wants us to add more men to our churches. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And they claim John 8:32. Remember what the Lord said? You shall know the truth and it will set you free. That's it. There's no chemicals. There's no psychology. It's just God's word they pour into them all day long for an extended period of time. And God's word does what? Sets them free. Sets them free. You know? They've started a Christian school there that now has 70 students. They've helped them start 8 small businesses, helped church members start 8 small businesses. And they sponsor 7 national church planters. So the Tulsa Bible Church has become a virtual one church coalition. And as their members have given sacrificially to help the strong Volgodonsk church become a great Antioch church, the Lord has also greatly blessed the Tulsa Bible Church with a wonderful new building. I saw their new building for the first time. It's unbelievable. They bought it from a Methodist church that was building like a $35 million plant. But it was a beautiful building, I think 1,500 seats and so on. And it was incredible. They wound up with this new building debt-free. And what could you say? They fully embraced the Lord's plan for them, and He has gloriously blessed their obedience. That's all I can think. So the vision for the future. The church leaders and the Kirov Oblast have sent me their vision for the future. They sent me an email, and we're going to read that to you. It's this: to continue educating pastors, missionaries, and church leaders, the Kirovochepetsk Church must become a true Antioch Church in order to be able to reach other churches, to reach unchurched areas of the region with the gospel, to develop a strategy and establish a financial base in the region for developing various ministries. All ministries will be oriented towards one goal, preaching the gospel. And then the vision to help other regions to take full responsibility for the Republic of Mary L. That's the republic next to them, for the purpose of reaching minority group citizens for Christ. Well, let me give you just a little bit of information about the Kirov Oblast. In the Kirov Oblast reside 1,600,000 people. There are 26 Baptist churches, or one for every 62,000 people. Okay. 4 of the 9 cities have no Bible preaching church. 13 of the 39 county seats have no Bible preaching church. There are 550 towns and villages that have no gospel witness. They have only 7 pastors. They need 19 more. So most of the churches that they planted don't have a pastor. They have 35 deacons. They need 42 more. They have 6 churches that have no building. They're reaching 21 orphanages. 19 more orphanages are open to them, but they're waiting because they don't have enough workers to send. Now, in the Mary L. Republic next door, there are 800,000 people. Only 3 churches. That means 1 church for every 267,000 people. 3 of the 4 cities have no Bible preaching church. 10 of the 12 county seats have no Bible preaching church. 1,500 towns and villages have no gospel witness. There are only 2 ordained pastors in the whole state. They have 6 missionaries. They're reaching through 3 orphanages, and 2 more are waiting. If you add all this together, there are 7 of 13 cities with no church. Can you think of a city with no church? There are 23 of 51 county seats with no church. And together there are 2,100 towns and villages that have no gospel witness. 22 pastors are needed for existing churches. 47 deacons are needed. 8 church buildings are needed. 21 orphanages are waiting for church workers. That's what's before you. That's what's before you. And I believe the Lord has raised up this coalition of churches for a time like this. Amen. Now, I have been many times, I forgot to tell you, I have been many times in the Key Road Wobblist. Many. I mean, I go back to 1991. I go back when the first church was meeting in the culture hall behind the big statue of Vladimir Lenin. Okay. And I'm sure you know the history. 100,000 people live in Kirovo-Chepetsk, and there was not one believer in that whole city until the Lord saved a young woman named Volya Korshinov. And she was an on-fire, immediate evangelist. And the Lord used her to bring Anatoly Olenik to become the pastor, to develop the church. But I have had such phenomenal experiences there. I mean, in terms of the harvest, we had an evangelist campaign, an itinerant one, from village to village in January in northern Russia. And all the meetings were held in unheated concrete buildings, culture halls, unheated, where it's 20 below zero outside and 30 below zero inside. And the people, and the gospel has never before been preached in such a town. But they know that some Christian music group is coming and some preacher's coming. And an hour beforehand, there are people sitting there in the cold waiting. And in numbers of cases, it was filled. The venue was filled. And the service would go on for 2.5, 3 hours. And the people would sit there. They would sit there. They're so hungry for the truth. And then when the invitation was given in several places, when they would stand to come forward, it looked like everybody was coming. First time it happened, it was really frightening. Really frightening. I mean, if you're on a platform and you give an invitation, it looks like everybody's coming. You're not sure what are they going to do. Are they coming to get saved? Or are they coming to get me? You know? That's a harvest, folks. That's a harvest. Can you imagine people even coming out of their house in such a night? To come to an unheated building and sit there and just wait because they're so hungry for the truth. Remember, the Lord used the communists to prepare their hearts. Okay? That's a whole other explanation, which I'm sure your pastors have explained to you. So that's the condition of the harvest field. Okay? The condition in the church, let me describe it this way. I arrived in Kirovo-Chepetsk on a Thursday morning. It was early June. Pastor Anatoly met me at the train station. He said, we've moved baptism up from late June when we always have it when the river's warmer. But we've moved it up because you're here. Now, what I already knew was that through May, there's still ice in the river, right? It's the first weekend in June. It was raining. It was about 45 or 48 degrees, raining, wind blowing, Thursday morning. I said, Anatoly, you shouldn't have done that. You need to reverse that decision, back it up. You shouldn't have it because I'm here. He said, well, the whole church is praying. Whether the Lord's going to change the weather, everything's going to be great. We're going to have it on Saturday. Friday morning, we awaken. It was colder. It was raining harder. I'm staying with Anatoly and Larissa. I said, Anatoly, the Lord is making it very clear, no baptism. No baptism. Anatoly said, whole church is praying, Robert. Whole church is praying. By tomorrow, it's going to clear up, be warm. Saturday morning. Weather's still the same. Cold, rainy, damp, ugly weather. You know, the kind sort of just bone-chilling weather. They're going to have baptism in the river. You know? I said, Anatoly, you can still call it off. Who's going to come? Who's going to come and stand in the cold rain and watch people in the cold water? I said, by the way, how many are you planning to baptize? He said, 82. Next thing I know, I'm in the car riding with Anatoly to the baptism. He says, just after we got in the car, he says, Robert, he said, the last 3 or 4 times you've been here for baptism, you preached. I think it's time for you to get in the water. It's the kind of people you're dealing with. I'm telling you the rest. This is called the rest of the story, right? I said, well, I can't. I didn't bring any clothes suitable for that. He said, I have some things laid aside for you at the church. We go to the church. I get my robe and my outfit. You know, we go down to the river. Am I surprised? There are 600 people standing in the rain waiting for the baptism. Okay. Fortunately, I didn't have to baptize all 82. He said, well, we're going to have four of you baptizing simultaneously, so we can do four at a time. So we had us all lined up out there in the river. And the river's kind of shallow, so you have to be out 40 or 50 feet. Well, that meant that when the people were walking out to be baptized, by the time... Oh, I forgot to tell you. I mean, the water temperature, you know, had to be in the 40s or something, you know. And by the time the people would get out to us where we're going to baptize them, their teeth are chattering, and they have a look of shock on their face. And some were ladies in their 70s, you know. And I was afraid somebody was going to die. And, I mean, and you're asking them, you know, if they've repented and trusted in Christ as Savior and Lord, and they could hardly say, duh! You know, it was awful. Look at their faces, you know. We got through it. We baptized them all. And now I'm going to tell you something that I haven't often said in America, because it could be misconstrued, but I know you're with me. Those of us in the water were in that frigid water for 45 minutes and we didn't get cold. And remember, they're coming out to be baptized. By the time they're in their 20 seconds, they're spastic from the cold. We're standing there not cold. Now, I don't know what you put that under in your theology, but I'll tell you where I put it. God's doing special things in Russia today. You know, for 70 years, he was long-suffering with those who blasphemed him. And then he said, it's over. And he yanked that iron curtain down, and it's a new day there. And the Lord has his arms around the church there in a special way. You know that from your experience. And as you get more and more involved with them, he's going to have his arms around your churches more and more too. I believe it with all my heart. Because you're coming alongside families whose dad and grandpa were taken in the night and they never heard from them again. Or they found out later on that they were forced marched into the river, being given opportunities to recant, wouldn't do it. Or they were sent out to die of Siberian weather or whatever. Well, I cannot say enough about what the Lord is doing through you pastors and your churches. Okay? These 10 coalitions that are functioning across America, you know why they're functioning? It's because everywhere we go in America and speak in churches, we tell them about you. We tell them about you. They never heard such a thing before. And they start talking about it, and they start talking about what other pastors... You're the reason. You're humanly the reason that there are 10 coalitions and 4 developing. And we need 36 more. In early September, the Baptist Union leaders identified 16 more potential Antioch locations in Russia. 16 more. But we're right on target for 50 by the year 2010. We're not behind. The Lord has us right on target. We believe it's a goal He gave us. And the Lord gives us a goal. And when we do all that we can to fulfill that goal, He's going to do what? The promise is right in the Great Commission. When Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all the nations, what did He say? Lo, I will be with you. I'm going to help you do it. How long? Till the end of the age. Are we there yet at the end of the age? No. That means it's us. Right? It's us. That's for us. That's for you. I want to finish reading a letter from the churches in the Kirov Oblast. The Evangelical Christian Baptist Churches of the Kirov region expressed their heartfelt gratitude to the churches in Detroit, Michigan. Your dedication to the ministry in our region has been a blessing. 2 Bible institutes in which 40 brothers studied became a blessing to our churches. Your experienced pastors and teachers gave us wonderful knowledge of the Holy Scriptures, as well as a great experience of their ministry and a true example of good Christians. The church in Kirovo-Chepetsk has been encouraged in further ministry for the glory of Christ only because the Coalition of Detroit Churches agreed to dedicate themselves to the Antioch Initiative. This will give us the opportunity to increase the ministry of the Grace Church of Kirovo-Chepetsk as well as in its sister churches. But most importantly, this joint labor will help us reach the unsaved for Christ in the Kirov region and in the Republic of Mariel. We're grateful that your churches gave us help in organizing the ministry in the children's orphanages and in the summer camps. We're especially grateful for the opportunity that was given to visit us to visit your churches in 2002 and in 2005 to seal our agreement on the Antioch Initiative. Being in your churches helped us to realize how much more we truly need your help. There is so much for us to do. Pastor Alexander Timofeyev and his wife Galina are especially grateful for your prayers for Alexander's health and for your financial help for his treatment. We are praying for all of you with humility in our hearts before God, dedicating ourselves to joint labor. We believe that through this our Lord will be glorified and many unsaved will come to know the truth. With love in Christ to all of you, the Evangelical Christian Baptist Churches of the Kirov Oblast.